Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church family. We're so happy that you're here today for our worship time together. Thank you so much for joining in this tremendous period of praise and worship together to our God. I want to remind you of several things this morning. First of all, at 5:15 this afternoon, we will be having our final Praise and Harmony training session together here in the auditorium. Really want to strongly encourage you to not miss this one, to be a part of this gathering together this morning, this afternoon, to practice these songs for our upcoming Praise and Harmony workshop. We really want to encourage you to be here again at 5:15. And the workshop is rapidly approaching. We're going to be meeting together for that workshop weekend 2 weeks from yesterday. So it's really quickly coming. That'll be the first main session on Saturday night. On Friday, previous to the Saturday session, we want to strongly encourage all of our men of the church that participate in any way in our worship gatherings, whether you lead prayer, wait on the table, or do any other aspect of leading in worship, to be here for the Friday night session at 6:30. That's for a closed session just for leaders, and Keith Lancaster is going to be talking to us about how to effectively lead a congregation of people in praise to God. I want to encourage you to be here for that. Of course, the Saturday night session is the main session, and then all day Sunday we'll have a Bible class here in the auditorium during the Bible class. Still having mic problems. Let me move to this one. I want to encourage you to be here for that session on Sunday morning. The combined auditorium Bible class will be here in the auditorium, and then we'll have that session for our worship, as Keith will be leading us in praise during our worship period Sunday morning. So if you've not already picked up one of those cards, I want to encourage you to do so out there in the auditorium. We've got plenty left, so make sure and grab several of those. Put one in your car, one on your refrigerator, put one in the bathroom, everywhere to remind yourself to be here for the worship workshop, and spread as many of those around to your family and friends as possible so that you can invite them to be a part of this workshop too. We want to encourage you to do that. So we're continuing our series this morning called Sing with Joy, and we're going to be looking together again at another lesson on the theme of stirring the spirit of worship before our God. And so as we look at that this morning, I want to just kind of tell you where we've been so far in this series. In the first two lessons of the series, we've tried to look at principles contained in the Old Testament about the way that God wants us to worship Him. The New Testament teaches us that the Old Testament is filled with examples and instruction that encourage and inform us as Christians as to the heart behind who God is and the heart that God wants us to have toward Him. And so we've looked at that in the first two lessons. Last week, we looked at a lesson about welcoming the presence of God in our worship, and that lesson blended together passages from the Old Testament and passages from the New Testament to realize that when we come together to worship, we're coming in the very presence of God. And then today, and then also in the lesson on the Sunday of the worship workshop, we're going to be looking at two passages from the New Testament that talk about the way that God wants us to praise Him. And the particular one we're going to be looking at this morning is in the Gospel of Luke. So if you've got your Bible, I would encourage you to be looking at Luke chapter 19. Our text is going to be coming from verses 28 through 40, and we'll get to that in just one moment. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. But you can go ahead and be turning there in preparation for the lesson this morning. I want to start the sermon this morning by saying this. I absolutely love spring. Anybody else? Yeah, I just love it. I mean, spring is fantastic. And you know, one of the things that I love about spring are the sounds of spring. I mean, you know spring is coming when you wake up early in the morning after the time has changed and you hear that songbird out your window. I love the sounds of those songbirds singing in the springtime. I even love the sound of those croaking frogs that you begin to hear. The frogs and the birds and all the chirping and the sound of the gentle brook that is the water as it pours over the rocks. And I love the sound of the warm, gentle breezes that some of them not so gentle in the springtime, But nonetheless, I love all those sounds. I mean, even the sound of the thunderstorm in the springtime, provided there's not an emergency alert that comes on your phone in the middle of the night. I even like the sounds of those storms that come in the springtime. You know, when we hear all these sounds of spring, let me tell you what we're hearing. We're hearing the sound of life being remade. When you hear the sounds of the spring, you are hearing the sounds of the Creator. You are hearing the song of creation being sung. And the song of creation is calling you and calling me to come and join in the song. You know, when we look at the creation around us and we see the beauty of the springtime, the birds and the flowers, the blue skies and the clouds overhead, there's something inside of you and me that we desperately want to join in all of that beauty. We want to be united together and join in with creation's song. In the words of C.S. Lewis, he once said this: "At present, we are on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and the purity of the morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors we see." Now, what C.S. Lewis is saying in this quote is he's saying that all of creation's song is trying to get us to join in the song. We see the freshness and the beauty of the recreation of what God is doing. And we feel like we can see all of that beauty, but we're on the wrong side of the door. We want to step inside, but there is something that prevents that from happening. We can't seem to be united with the creation. We can't seem to mingle with all the splendors that we see, no matter how desperate that we want to. You see, all of creation is singing a song of joy to its maker. And yet there is something inside of you and something inside of me that suppresses the song. In the beginning, when the Creator made the heavens and the earth, in 6 days He made all that we see and all that there is. And He stepped back from all that He had made and He set his gaze across the freshly created landscape. And He said these words: "It is very good." Genesis 1 and verse 31. And from that day forward, all of nature began to sing a song. All of creation praises God. All of nature sings because everything that God has made is being exactly what He made it to be. Nature's chorus joyfully sings a united message, which basically says this: our Maker loves us. Our Maker is delighted in us. Our Creator said we are very good. He enjoys us. He delights in us. And all of creation, from the gentle brook to the birds that sing, to the clouds overhead, to the thunder strike, all of it is singing praise to the Maker. Throughout the story of the Bible, as we have even sung in some of the songs this morning, I was noticing some of the words, and we've sung some of these very same things. Throughout the Bible, there is a musical soundtrack. Did you know the Bible has a soundtrack? The soundtrack of the Bible is praise that is playing on every page. The song of creation is being sung. Would you like to hear it? 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 33. "Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth." Psalm 19 verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." Psalm 98, verses 7 and 8, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Isaiah 55, 12. For you go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing. The mountains and the hills are about to sing for praise to God. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And then when we come to the very end of everything being unmade, so that a new heavens and earth can be remade. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation 5 and verse 13, John gets a glimpse in the final verse of the song of all creation. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. All of creation is singing this song of praise. But of everything that God made, all of the beautiful pasture land, the waterfalls as the water comes crashing over the edge, the water that rushes up on the seashore, the sunset in a beautiful rainbow of color. Of all of those majestic things God made, God made you in His image. And we were designed to not just join in creation song. We were made to lead it. But each one of us, you and me, we know we're not good. You know, I said God looked on all that He had made and He said it's very good. But you and I, we know the truth, don't we? That something happened since that statement. And we look within ourselves, each one of us do, and we know that we're not good. Not like God made us to be. We know we've rebelled. We know we can't sing the song because we're broken. The great preacher of the 18th century, George Whitefield, once said this: have you ever noticed that when you come near the animals, they growl at us? They bark at us? The birds screech at us and fly away? Do you know why, he says? Because they know that we have a quarrel with their master. But something within us wants desperately to be remade. We want to be on the other side of the door. We want to join in creation song. And this morning in the passage in Luke 19, we see vividly described how God is going to make that happen. Underneath waving tree branches extended upward toward heaven, Jesus rides on a colt that upon which no one had ever ridden into the city of Jerusalem to a crowd of followers. And the Bible says in Luke 19:37, they joyfully praise God in loud voices. Let's look together at the text. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. The things that we tend to cover up with, those things are taken off and laid openly before the king. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. And you know what they said? They quoted from the Psalms. Psalm 118, verses 26 and 27. They said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus replied, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, riding on a colt, underneath these waving branches, these disciples are joining in creation's song of praise. They have seen the mighty miracles that Jesus has done, and they have come to know who he is, and they recognize his power. And what they sing is Psalm 118, verses 26 and 27. And listen to what that passage says from the Contemporary English Version. God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you from here in the house of the Lord. The Lord is our God and he has given us light. Start the celebration. March with palm branches all the way to the altar. And that's what they were doing. But not all of them. There were Pharisees in the crowd. And they said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. You see, these religious leaders tried to repress the joyful worship to the Messiah. And Jesus would have none of it. Jesus had come to give life, John 10 and verse 10, but Jesus warned us that there would be those that would come that would be thieves who would want to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal the joy of the Spirit. Kill enthusiasm. Destroy spiritual connection with God. And these Pharisees were certainly doing what Jesus had predicted. They were trying to sap the life, the joy, the excitement of worship out of these disciples. And of all people, they were supposed to be the leaders of Israel's people. But when you look at them, you see from Jesus' discussion of them throughout the pages of the New Testament that they were guilty of going through the motions of worship. These Pharisees had a very sterile and formal and ritualistic style of worship, and Jesus rebuked it often. You see numerous times in the Gospels that Jesus will quote from Isaiah 29:13 in reference to the Pharisees, and he says, "This people draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." Their religion is nothing but human rules and traditions which they have memorized. You see, for the Pharisees, their legalism had created a formal death to their worship. although they dutifully went through the rituals of their religion, they had silenced the song of creation in their hearts. And Jesus says to them in verse 40, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. If the joyful praise of the people of God is silenced, what Jesus is saying here in this context is that that would signal cosmic repercussions. Because I want you to think about this for a moment. Everything that creation was made to do was leading up to this very event when the Son of God, the King of Kings, is riding into Jerusalem to do what He was planned to do from the beginning of creation and even before it. It was all leading up to this. The entire plan of creation, God's salvation plan, was culminating in this event. Creation song that began from the first day that the stars appeared in the sky, from the first sound that uttered forth from God's creative work, was all leading to this moment. Creation's worship song was coming to the crescendo as Jesus enters the city. And if the praise of the people is silenced in this moment, and the ones upon whom God had placed His very image, if they remain quiet, Jesus says, you better look out, because even the ground is going to start praising Me, because it's all been leading up to this. Even the rocks will break forth in jubilant praise, because the King has come. The plan laid by the Creator, even before the rocky foundations of the earth were laid, is about to be made known. Glory to God in the highest. Even the rocks know what's coming. And with the coming of the King, Jesus says to His people, don't leave the praise to the rocks and the trees and the birds of the air. In the words of the spiritual song that I love so much by LaMarcus Jefferson, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no bird gonna flap His feathers. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no tree gonna lift its branches. As long as I'm alive, I will glorify His holy name. Amen? Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem that day to the praise, the joyful praise, and the shouts of worship to God by the people and the miracles that they had seen. He enters the city, and it leads Him to a cross. As Jesus is nailed there to the cross and lifted high above the earth, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27 in verse 51 that there was an earthquake and the rocks split open. Even the rocks are opening up, recognizing the power of what's happening there that day. As one writer has observed, the very opposite of creation happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was decreated. He was deconstructed on the cross. Why? Our Maker had to be unmade so that you could be remade. Our Creator had to be decreated so that we could be recreated. And when you know that, in fact, it's not until you know that, that you can join in with creation's song. But 3 days later, in Matthew 28:2, the Bible says there was another earthquake, and another rock was moved. The stone was rolled away, and Jesus came forth alive from the tomb. The King of creation is the King of resurrection. The King of resurrection is the King of recreation. And if you come to know what Jesus did for you, it's then and only then that you can join with creation song. It's when you know that what Jesus did for you, that you can have your sins removed and the door is opened. And finally, you can be united with all of creation in praise to God. It is only when your sins are removed by what Jesus did for you on the cross that your heart that has been suppressed can finally burst forth in a melody of song of joy to God. No longer, when you know what Jesus has done for you, no longer suppress your joyfulness of praise to the King. No longer say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus, because of what He did for us, says, "The stones won't just cry out, and My followers, they will not remain quiet." Because for them, their hearts will soar, and they will not only join creation song to the King, but before My throne, they will lead it. This morning, do you know what Jesus did for you? Have you let your heart accept it? You know there's something deep within you that wants to join that song, but it is your sin that keeps you from doing it. The sin of pride. The sin of self-will. Come and have your sins removed and let your heart go. And sing a song of praise to your God. If we can help you this morning, won't you come to Jesus in repentance and baptism? We'd love to assist you in your obedience to the gospel so that you can know the power of what the Savior has done for you. Or maybe you need the encouragement of this flock of believers. We'd love to pray together with you because we're family here. Or maybe you need the special tender care of your shepherds. They stand ready to meet your needs privately in the library or up front as we all together stand and sing. Let's sing together to the Lord.